Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. I will be filling in for him. Michael, my buddy, I just want to thank you once again from the bottom of my heart for this incredible honor and opportunity once again of filling in your huge shoes. Michael, I can't tell you how much I enjoy filling in for you. It is such an honor and a privilege. And buddy, I just cannot thank you enough. To all of you out there, please go to michaelsavage.com for some of the most absolutely cutting-edge must-read stories. There is some stuff out there, honestly, you can just not find anywhere else. Before I get to the issue of the day, which is the looming government shutdown, as I speak to you here in Washington, D.C., this is what everybody is talking about. In fact, the city is obsessed with it. There are other very important stories that if you go to michaelsavage.com, in many ways are even more important than the budget crisis. Yes, it's the issue of the day and we'll cover it. But there are some other, I'm talking just absolutely superb sizzling stories. Obama toasts gutter rat Sharpton in New York City, right at the top on the left-hand corner on michaelsavage.com. Last night, as John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Dirty Harry Reid, as they were in late-night budget negotiations, taking it down to the wire, as the dear leader, the con man in chief, vowed to the American people, not once, not twice, but repeatedly, he was going to be here to the end. He was going to make sure there was going to be a deal. What was he doing? Was he there behind closed doors? Was he there trying to hammer out a deal? No, 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 no. Because for him, he's on a permanent reelection campaign. So he flies off to New York City in Midtown Manhattan at the Sheraton Hotel and Towers at a ritzy dinner. 600 people. There's Magic Johnson. There's Bill Cosby. It's a who's who of the African-American community. They're all there. What are they there for? To kiss the ring of that raving anti-Semite, that race monger, Al Sharpton, celebrating his organization's 20-year anniversary. And of course, the keynote speaker, no one else but Barack Obama, the dear leader. He had to show up. And there he was, praising Sharpton as a civil rights leader, praising Sharpton for all the good work he's done for African Americans in New York and across the country. Excuse me? This man who helped to spearhead and spark riots against white diamond merchants in New York City? This man who falsely supported Tawana Brawley in her false accusations that she was raped by cops, literally triggering a race riot? This man, this hustler, this con artist, that's who you go and celebrate? And here's what I don't understand. This, I can't fathom this for the life of me. How is it that Barack Obama is seen as a champion of African Americans? Forget Al Sharpton. We know he's a con artist. We know he's a con man. We know that. Okay, that is there for anybody with eyes to see. But this man, this Marxist in chief, this con man in the White House, what has he done for the African-American community? What I'd like to know is why there wasn't one decent, honest African-American leader in that room who would get up and have the guts to say, Mr. President, with all due respect, we know now you're on your reelection campaign, so you got to bang us up for some money, some fundraising dollars. I understand how it works. But why don't you go to Harlem? Why don't you go to the Bronx? How come we haven't seen you for the last 2 years? How come you don't go to South Central Los Angeles? No one sees you in the ghettos. No one sees you in the inner cities. We see you partying it up in the White House. Yes, you'll have black entertainers over. You'll also have Paul McCartney and Elton John. Yes, we can see you off in Rio. Oh, you love to party it up in Rio de Janeiro and tell everybody how you're looking forward to importing Brazil's oil into America. You don't want to drill for oil in America. God forbid. Oh, God forbid. Anwar. God forbid that we should open up the Gulf Coast. God forbid we should have oil there. But no, if Brazil drills oil, then we'll import it. I understand your game. But what has this man done for blacks? And now opinion polls show, with him getting geared up for his reelection campaign, that over 90% of African Americans support Obama. Why? For the life of me, the only explanation I can find, and nobody in the mainstream media and even much of the establishment conservative media has the guts to say it. So I'll say it. They're only backing him for one reason, because they like the color of his skin. He's one of us. That's the only logical explanation. Unemployment in black communities soaring higher than the national average. The public school system, an absolute disaster. It is African-American children who are bearing the brunt of our failed schools. Drugs proliferating. Illegal immigration. Who do you think is stealing most of those low-skilled jobs that used to be filled by African-Americans? I'll tell you right now, when I walk around Washington, D.C., and I go to a fast food restaurant, it used to be poor whites and poor blacks that used to flip hamburgers. It was a way up the ladder. You get some experience, you get a paycheck, you learn some working skills, and then you move up slowly, maybe within McDonald's or Burger King, or you move out. It's all illegal Hispanics. African Americans are getting muscled out of construction. They're getting muscled out of textiles. They're getting muscled out of restaurants and hotels. Where's Al Sharpton? Where's Jesse Jackson? Where's the dear leader? I don't understand this. So here you have the black community marching in lockstep, backing a president who doesn't give a damn about them, who's turned his back on them every step of the way. And this is the key point about Obama. In the end, Obama is a typical leftist politician. He cares about himself. In the end, it's about him and Michelle, him and Marxist Michelle, lining their pockets, their vanity, their fame, stroking their ego. But it is the country that is burning. He has betrayed even the African-American community. Remember the hype in 2008, the first African-American president, the first black president. This was breaking the mother of all ceilings. This was it. This was going to change race relations. No, it hasn't. In fact, we now see clearly he's nothing but a con man. He'll even betray his own people. And so now, with the government shutdown looming, as he's partying it up with Al Sharpton, what are we now about to face? Tomorrow at midnight is the deadline. Today, Boehner has now come out and said he supports a one-week resolution and extension that will allow the government to be funded on a short-term budgetary basis so they can come up with a final deal. In other words, he's blinked. Obama has now called his bluff. You want to shut the government down over your $40 billion spending cuts? Let's go. Because he knows deep down, Boehner doesn't have the spine, Boehner doesn't have the stomach, Boehner doesn't have the guts to face down Obama and his cronies in the White House. And so you have Dirty Harry Reid. He's now just come out and said, no, 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 no. This thing is a done deal. This thing, we're going to shut this government down. If Boehner wants to shut it down, we'll shut it down. But here's what I can't believe. I understand the posturing of Boehner. I understand the posturing of Dirty Harry Reid. I understand the likes of Al Sharpton praising Obama. But check out this moron. Where did this guy come from? We have Alec Baldwin coming to Washington, D.C., holding a press conference. Since when did Hollywood actors become political experts? Since when did Hollywood actors, suddenly living in Hollywood for 40 years, getting stoned on cocaine, chasing one woman, one skirt after another, literally leading these debauched, degenerate lives, how did they suddenly become experts on public policy? He comes here into D.C., and believe me, I can't believe this. He comes out and he says, you know the problem with Obama? He just hasn't been able to spend enough money.
I wanted to just quickly ask you if, up to this point, if President Obama has lived up to your expectations as a strong supporter of him from the beginning.
Well, I think so, because I think that when you come into office and you want to put your mark on things, you want to be able to spend.
He hasn't spent? Hey, Alec, get your nose out of the powder room, buddy. Get sober up and get out of the bar. You know what? Maybe if you stopped insulting your daughter on the phone and actually bred a newspaper, you'd realize, what about the stimulus package? $1 trillion. That's not enough for you. How about Obamacare? A multi-trillion dollar entitlement program. That's not enough for you. How about TARP? How about bailing out GM? How about bailing out Chrysler? How about nationalizing huge sectors of our economy? $1.6 trillion deficit. Alec, that's not enough spending for you, Alec. This guy is creating deficits larger than the size of most European countries. Let me repeat that. Obama's deficits are larger than the size of most major European countries. He is spending us into the ground. And this man comes to Washington and says the problem with him is he hasn't spent enough. My friends, what we are now witnessing with this government shutdown, with this looming showdown in Washington, is the result of 40 years of uncontrolled liberalism, the kind of liberalism that Hollywood and Alec Baldwin represent, a sense of entitlement, that we can do everything and we deserve everything, no matter what the cost. There are no limits. Well, Alec, I got news for you. We are going broke because liberalism is a bankrupt ideology. And come tomorrow at midnight, our government is going to shut down. And I say, shut it down. And my question to all of you is a simple one. Alec Baldwin says we don't spend enough. I say we spend too much. What program, what agency do you believe we should cut if there is a partial government shutdown? What agency do you think is utterly irrelevant that we should get rid of? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. Go to michaelsavage.com, 1-800-449-8255. Alec Baldwin, now the self-appointed political expert, is here on Capitol Hill, and he's now giving his full support for Obama during this budget crisis showdown. And so he's saying, you know, Obama really could have had a lot more spending programs, but you know what? It was the financial crisis that stopped him. He could have spent even more of our money.
What's crippled Obama's administration, as far as I'm concerned, is a financial crisis that has prevented him from doing any new spending. If the country was as flush as it was under Bill Clinton, and he had money, these things cost money, he could have made more of a market.
Really? Really, Alec? Tell me, really? You mean he didn't spend enough, huh? We're not deep enough in debt for you, huh, Alec? What's the matter? Obamacare wasn't enough for you? What is it? $1.6 trillion deficits? Not enough for you, huh? The $1 trillion stimulus package? Not enough for you, huh? Tell me, what else does he need to take over, Alec? How much? I mean, what is it? You want a $2 trillion deficit? How about a $3 trillion deficit, Alec? One of your cocaine benders? You want us to follow that? Or we just go there and just snort half of Colombia up our nose? Is that your idea of a statesmanship? This guy's a moron. And this is the thing I don't understand about modern America. I don't understand this. If you don't know what you're talking about, stay quiet. You know the old expression? Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That to me is Hollywood. Him, Sean Penn, Oliver Stone. I could run down the whole list. All of these leftists who probably can't get through a newspaper article if their life depended on it, walk around and act like somehow they're these big political pundits. And look at their, it's their entitlement mentality. There are no limits. We can have everything. The sky is the limit. Literally, just like in Hollywood, I can abuse my body. I can snort cocaine. I could be an alcoholic. I could be like Elizabeth Taylor and have, what, 7, 8, 9 husbands? No problem. There's no consequences to anything. This is exactly the kind of people that Obama has surrounded himself. And we're asking ourselves why we're facing a government shutdown? My friends, shut the government down. It will show the American people once and for all, this is what happens when you drive your country into bankruptcy. When you are drowning under a mountain of red ink, you have no other choice but to stand there and show the American public the full consequences of what it is to be on the path to national ruin. To the Republicans, shut it down. To Alec Baldwin, go home. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
John Boehner doesn't want to shut down, as he indicated, but the problem is, as I've said before, if the President and Senator Reid were negotiating with Speaker Boehner and Senator Mitch McConnell, it would be one thing. They are, in fact, negotiating with Boehner, McConnell, the White Rabbit, and the Mad Hatter.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This was Barney Frank, Massachusetts Democrat, good time Barney, as he's known here on in Washington, D.C. You know, look at the contempt that he has for the Tea Party. Look at how out of touch. I played to you a couple of clips by Alec Baldwin just before the break. Now look at Barney Frank. This guy symbolizes the utter disconnect from reality, the lunacy that dominates the left and the Democratic Party. And everywhere you look, go on CNN, go on MS Left BC, all of these cable shows, they have this clock counting down now, a little countdown to when the government is going to shut down. Like this is somehow the parting of the seas. It's Armageddon. It's an apocalypse. The world is going to end if our government shuts down. Have you noticed the one clock that they don't have is the debt clock? They don't have the number. I would put that number every day. Every day, every night, roll it and roll it and roll it. Loop it and loop it. $14 trillion and rising. And you can see. And then right beside it, I'd say, this is how much you personally owe. Here's how much your children owe before they're even born. And that's what I'd have the American people see. There's no White Rabbit. There's no Mad Hatter. There's no money. We are going broke. This is what I find amazing. It's to me almost irresponsible. The thing about Barney Frank, he's actually half right. A stop clock is right twice a day. So is Barney. Boehner and McConnell would cut a deal. This is what I find remarkable. Facing a $400 billion interest payment on the debt alone. $400 billion. That's how much is going to go just for the interest. Forget everything else. Just the interest. That's what the bankers make. That's what the international creditors make. That's where some of the groups aligned with George Soros. That's where Soros makes his money. Off the debt. Destroying the American dollar. Destroying the value of American treasury bonds. Boehner is talking about a $40 billion spending cut. That's a drop in the bucket. That's a pebble in the ocean. And Harry Reid comes out and says, that's too much. It's too much. It's too much. No, it's too much. The elderly are going to be thrown out of their wheelchairs. The poor are going to starve to death. It's going to be the end of the world if we have these $40 billion cuts. You mean to tell me, in a $3.6 trillion budget, you can't find $40 billion to cut? This is the lunacy that is here on Capitol Hill. Both parties are not serious. McConnell would cave. He wants a deal. Boehner has said he wants a deal. In fact, Boehner wants another resolution extending the crisis, extending this negotiation for another week. There's nothing to debate. There's nothing to negotiate. We cannot afford the fiscal path that we're on. It's period. It's that simple. And here's the deeper point. So what if the government shuts down? Have you noticed all this hysteria in the liberal media? My God, the sky's going to fall. It's going to be the end of the world. The silver-haired guy, Anderson Cooper. Oh, my God, how dare we have a government shutdown? And we have a partial shutdown. What's the problem? Is it going to affect our lives in a real, impactful way? No. The only people that should be funded, and they will, are the military. Other than that, what direct impact or meaning to us is going to happen if there is a government shutdown? There isn't. That's how irrelevant and ineffective the government is. This is what nobody wants you to know. We can operate this country without our federal government. That's how corrupt they are. That's how irrelevant they are. And we are bankrupting ourselves because these parasites are determining our destiny? I say enough is enough. Shut it down. Let's go to Cameron in New York on line one. Cameron, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm sure I speak for millions of your listeners when I say we're always amazed at your preparation and delivery when you sit in for the doc.
Oh, thank you so much, Cameron. I really appreciate it. I mean, you know, Michael is the grand master. I just study at his feet.
Well, we always enjoy you when you come in, but there's no way this government's going to be shut down as much as I would like to see it, and I agree with you. Let's shut it down. We have to, but and I'll explain why we must, but first I just want to make sure that you know my crystal balls are telling me that it will not be shut down.
Okay, now why? I'm just curious, Cameron, why?
Well, I work with three crystal balls, and two of them say no, and one says yes. That's the tiebreaker, because this is really, you hit on it just a minute ago when you mentioned the people in the media are crazed about this. This is nothing more than the cooperation of the government and the media, which is controlled totally. There used to be an objective station, somewhat balanced, called Fox News Channel. Now they've thrown in with the mainstream media. And they're all the same bunch of worthless agents of the government. But it's just to create the advertising revenues to buy soap. It's like the weatherman when he tells you that the storm is coming, so you'll stay home and watch his television for the predictions. It's just a scam.
Cameron, you hit the nail right on the head. Fox, to me, has now become a worthless media outlet. I used to actually like Fox years ago. I really did. I thought they had some independent voices. I thought they were different from the mainstream media. You could actually hear a conservative point of view. Now, it's a joke. Now they're simply in it to make money. That's all it is. It's one big racket. And what it is this is what's happening in America. Our major media outlets, CNN, MSLFBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, I could go on. They're all in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. We know that. So what has Fox done? Are they truly independent? See, this is why I sit in for Mike, because he's one of the few genuine, independent, nationalist, conservative voices in America. He puts America first. He doesn't kowtow to the Republicans. He doesn't kowtow to the Democrats. Fox is nothing more than a shill for the Republican Party. I don't want to mention some of their hosts. I was listening to them a little bit before as I was driving into the car. I don't want to even mention some of their names. Paul Ryan, bold, principled, brilliant. Oh, John Boehner, does he have the stuff to pull this off? They're cheerleading for the Republicans. Their job is to be a watchdog. And what is the simple fact? The simple fact is this. Both the Republicans and the Democrats have bankrupted America, have they not? We are spending trillions of dollars in wars that we cannot afford. Both parties cannot enforce the border. Both parties have caved to special interests. Both parties are handing out corporate welfare. And they're now going to tell us that somehow the Republicans are the solution to all our problems? I've had it. So now they're telling us, no. Without them running the show, this country can't function. My God, can you imagine a government shutdown? Oh, my God. Literally, people are going to be jumping out of windows. Nothing is going to happen. Tomorrow, midnight, the clock will strike 12:01. If there is a shutdown, your life will go on. I bet you your life is going to be better. You know why? They're going to stop spending money. What the shutdown does is they stop spending money. They can't spend money. Yes, the government workers, 800,000 here in D.C., all those parasites and leeches, they'll be upset. Oh, they're going to want to know who's responsible for the shutdown. But as far as you're concerned, the only thing that matters, I don't want to be a broken record, but the only thing that matters is that our soldiers are paid. They are the ones who protect us. They're the reason why we can sleep at night. As long as they're paid, my friends, we don't have a worry. And you know what's going to happen? As the days go on, the American people are going to realize, hey, what are we paying these clowns for? We don't need them. And more than that, we are broke. Get used to the government shutting down. This is what happens in Argentina or some third world banana republic. The government shuts down. People aren't paid. This is what happens when you don't balance the books. You want to spend it like drunken sailors? You want to have record deficits for year after year after year? You want to insult your citizens when they come out in protest and say, stop bankrupting and mortgaging the futures of our children and grandchildren? That's what you get. My friends, until we elect the politicians that we deserve, until we clean house with both parties, this game is just going to continue. Let's, Mike, thanks for, forgive me, Phil, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. You asked a while ago about what departments we should shut down. I tell you, I think we should shut down the National Energy Department Administration, the National Education Administration, just about anything you can think of we can get along without other than the military, like you said. What would happen if the Education Administration didn't get funded? What would happen if the National Endowment for the Arts didn't get funded? What would happen? You know, Carter created the National Energy Administration to make energy less expensive to the American people. And what is it, $16 billion a year or something like that? It's ridiculous.
Phil, you hit the nail on the head, my buddy, and I want to thank you for that call. It's a massive boondoggle. And this is my point. When Carter, when the Department of Energy was created, I remember under Reagan, I remember under Gingrich in the 1990s, they were going to axe it. It was the first department that had to go. It's still there. Bush gave it even more funding. Obama gives it even more funding. Same thing with the Department of Education. They just grow and grow and grow. The Department of Energy. What energy are we creating? The Department of Energy, along with the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, they are preventing us from drilling oil in our own soil. This is what I find remarkable. We don't need to depend on a drop of foreign oil. We have enough oil here in America. You look at our shores, you look at Anwar, you look at all the deposits of oil that we have here in America. We have enough to be completely self-sufficient. We are tying our own hands. Education. Look at our schools. Look at our public schools. They are an absolute disaster. I know people who have graduated from public schools. I've had to mentor them, look over them. I had to teach them when I was a professor in university. They are at an eighth grade reading and math level. Eighth grade. They're semi-illiterates. We were, I'll never forget this. I asked her, I said, what's it like for you in school? How did you get pregnant? How did this happen? She said, all we do in our public school is drugs. Ecstasy, sniffing glue, crack cocaine. Everybody by 12 or 13 is encouraged to have sex. Sexual education is everywhere. 12 or 13, the biggest epidemic, health epidemic in America, in our school system. This is, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. I looked it up. I couldn't believe what she said. She was saying students were having oral sex in between classes. I said, this is unbelievable. Gonorrhea of the mouth. This is what's happening in our public schools and our public and our Department of Education. What are they good for? What are they good for? And the biggest victims, because let's be candid now. Whites, especially well-to-do whites, have been fleeing the inner cities and living in the suburbs. They can afford homeschooling. They can afford a good private or parochial school. But what about the minorities? What about all those people that are voting for Obama? The Hispanics, the African Americans. They're the ones that are being shafted. They're the ones that are being caught in these trapped schools. This is why I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I've challenged liberals repeatedly and they can't refute this. The welfare state has done more damage to the black family than slavery ever did. Because even under slavery, you did not see this kind of mass illegitimacy. You did not see this kind of abuse of children that is going on in our public schools and in inner cities today. Crack, gangs, drugs, illiteracy. These children have no chance. And what is Obama doing? Does he give a damn about them? No, he's partying it up with Al Sharpton. Hey, come on, a $10,000 a head dinner. And they're slapping each other on the back. He's telling Al Sharpton how much weight he's lost. Oh my, you're almost going to be skinnier than I am, Al. Ha 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 ha. I ask you, even as racial, do you give a damn? Don't you give a damn? Go through Southeast DC. I'll take you there. Those kids have so much potential. My God, their wholesome faces, their beautiful eyes. We are destroying generations of people. On the name of what? So these teachers' unions and government bureaucrats can live off the fat of the land? This is why I've said this about liberalism, and I'll say it again. It's not just that we can't afford the welfare state. It's not just that it's unsustainable. It is morally and socially wrong. The price, the moral and social price is too high. That's why I'll say it again and I'll say it now. Shut the government down. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Let's go to John in Chicago. John, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, John?
I wanted to connect the dots with Alec Baldwin.
Go ahead, shoot.
Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Saturday Night Live, NBC, General Electric.
Jeffrey Immelt, President Obama.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell you why Fox News is totally ineffective.
Go ahead, shoot, buddy.
They mock Savage. They mock your position on the birther issue, saying it's not a priority because we got a budget problem. Well, the national debt has gone from $9.66 trillion to $14.2 under Obama. Now, if he's ineligible to be president, couldn't we nix all the spending that he's done in the last 2 years? That's $1.5 trillion.
Thanks for that call, John. No, look, to me, I think it's obvious. You look at somebody like Alec Baldwin, he's a shill for NBC and for Jeff Immelt. And this is what I find stunning. It's now becoming more and more naked. It's becoming more and more obvious. You now have what Savage has brilliantly called the government media complex. It's a collusion. And so Alec Baldwin, basically his check is punched and written by Jeff Immelt. Jeff Immelt, the president and CEO of GE, is one of Obama's closest cronies. They play golf together on a regular basis, as I pointed out yesterday. Immelt's GE got $3.2 billion in a tax refund just last year. I mean, they're rolling in money. They paid not only zero in taxes, they lined their pockets. So, of course, Alec Baldwin is going to come down here and act like some Stalinist robot and stand there and say, no, the problem with Obama is he hasn't spent enough money. No, no, he could have made his mark had he spent more. What do you want him to spend like? Castro? Lenin? I mean, this is what I find amazing, is the utter disconnect from reality. So why isn't Fox coming out and saying what Savage would say, I think, what I would say, which is, who cares if the government shuts down? It doesn't do very much to begin with. It doesn't do very much effectively to begin with. And we don't need it. We're broke. We can't afford it. But you see, that would offend their Republican friends on Capitol Hill, because they just want, at best, $61 billion. You see, that's all they want in cuts, because they got to reward their corporate friends. They got to reward their pharmaceutical friends. They got to keep all those farm subsidies rolling. In other words, they're just as complicit in the Ponzi scheme that is Washington, D.C., as the Democrats. And everybody in this city knows it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. I will be filling in for him. Michael, my buddy, if you happen to be listening, I just cannot thank you enough, my friend, for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you. You know, Michael, as the budget crisis looms, I have to tell you, in a city surrounded by phonies and liars and con men, in a phony, fake media that dominates this entire city and suffocates much of this country, you are such a refreshing voice. And your independent conservatism, your principled nationalism, your call for borders, language, and culture is exactly what this country needs at this moment. And my buddy, I am just so thankful and grateful for being able to fill in for you. Members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. There's some must-read stories. NATO fears war without end in Libya. So here you have the President of the United States having committed us in a foolish and unconstitutional and illegal war, having passed off the buck to NATO. And now NATO is coming out and saying, this could be an endless quagmire. This could be another Vietnam. This thing could go on and on and on. And to me, what is absolutely stunning here is Obama has put us in a war in a North African country that did not attack us, posed no threat to the United States, nor did attack a NATO ally member. It's not as if a member of NATO was attacked, and then so you have to wear Article 5, which triggers, you know, the if one member's attack on one is an attack on all. So if you attack one member of NATO, then everybody has to rally to that member's defense. It's a civil war between the murderous Gaddafi regime and these radical Islamist thugs. And so now they are slugging it out in this in the desert in North Africa. And how did this suddenly become our business? How suddenly now are we on taking one side against another? And what is, to me, incredible, almost a dereliction of duty, bordering, frankly, on treason, is we have our senior officials meeting leaders of the rebels, and we don't even know who they are. And then we find out, after we've met them, many of them are members of Al-Qaeda. Many of them are from the eastern province of Libya, which is infested with jihadists, who in fact, many of whom went to Iraq to fight and kill American soldiers when we toppled Saddam Hussein. We are arming and training and equipping, literally, terrorists with American blood on their hands. And now NATO doesn't know what to do, because air power is not enough to defeat Gaddafi. The rebel forces, for all their bluster, for all their bravado, do not have what it takes to go all the way to Tripoli and topple Gaddafi. Topple that pathetic little strongman, that little capricious killer. And so, my friends, I ask you this. When we pounded Gaddafi's compound, when we dropped cruise missiles under Reagan in 1986, by not killing the serpent, you know the old expression, if you strike at the king, you better kill the king. We didn't strike at the king and kill him. He turned around, wounded, humiliated, angry, and he unleashed the terrorist atrocities occurring on Lockerbie, Scotland, where they blew up that plane and American citizens died, and families to this day are grieving and demanding justice. If we don't remove Gaddafi from power, if he stays wounded, licking his wounds, if you have a partition of Libya or a stalemate, what do you think is going to happen? You don't think American airliners are going to be affected? In fact, reports just go to NATO fears war without end in Libya. It's all there. Now reports are coming out that Al-Qaeda and Islamic insurgents, the rebels, have now raided Libyan depots, army depots. They've gotten guns, assault rifles, ammunition. And here's the kicker. Shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles. Those are the exact kind of missiles an Al-Qaeda terrorist could blow up and shoot down an American plane. This is the kind of stuff that is now all over Libya. You don't think somebody connected to Gaddafi, or maybe even a rogue Al-Qaeda agent, can't go and blow up now an American plane? This is what we've gotten ourselves involved in. But hey, don't worry. Don't worry, because the dear leader has everything under control. Yeah, he's partying it up with Hal Sharpton. He's now back in Washington. They're going to take care of the financial crisis. They're going to take care of the budget crisis. And as all this is going on, as America is bleeding in Afghanistan, bleeding in Iraq, bleeding in Libya, Nancy the Piranha Pelosi headlines a fundraiser and an event for a George Soros-sponsored group. She goes to bow to the liberal king, to the man who wants to be president and dictator of the world, George Soros himself. So here is Nancy Pelosi now coming out and saying, oh my God, how can we have $40 billion in cuts in a $3.6 trillion budget? Oh my God, we're going to kill the elderly.
The Republican budget is unfair because it has the wrong priorities. Mm-hmm. Passing the budget and addressing our nation's economic challenges requires us to seek compromises. Mm-hmm. But threatening seniors' health and cutting off our children's education, mm-hmm, just to give tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires, mm-hmm, is not the middle ground that we, mm-hmm, strive to find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the class again. Tax cuts, I get it. Millionaires and billionaires. Blame the rich. Blame the rich. You don't mind taking their money, eh, Nancy? Hey, Piranha? But this, no, blame the rich. First of all, seniors aren't affected in this at all. Those little dinky cuts the Republicans are proposing have nothing to do with seniors. Nothing. Nothing. Medicare, not touched. Medicaid, not touched. Nothing. Nothing's touched. None of the entitlements are touched. The poor, what is she talking about? Food stamps aren't going to be touched. Welfare isn't going to be touched. So we're talking about obvious wasteful spending in the government. But no, they can't even touch that. God forbid you should touch that. So look at the shameless demagoguery. And in the end, this is the question you have to ask yourself. Beyond Anderson Cooper going hysterical on the air about the government shutting down, beyond softball Chris Matthews with his little clock about the government shutdown, with his eyes rolling around, him foaming at the mouth, beyond all of this, who benefits? With the Republicans and Democrats forcing a government shutdown, who benefits? In the end, who is benefiting from the Obama presidency? Is it you? No. Is it me? No. But I'll tell you who is. George Soros. Soros benefits. The sugar daddy of the Democratic Party. The puppeteer who pulls Obama's strings, who pulls Dirty Harry Reid's strings, who pulls Pelosi's strings. That's why she's headlining his event. Because in the end, what is it that Soros wants? What is it that Obama and the Pelosi-Reid Democrats are doing? What are they doing? They are slowly destroying America. Their European-style entitlement state, the Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, food stamps, welfare, all of that that they don't want touched, they know will bankrupt us. They know. Soros made out like a bandit when Greece went bankrupt. Ireland went bankrupt. There was Soros cleaning house. Portugal, there he is. He can't wait for Italy and Spain to fall. He's like a limitless appetite. He can't have enough. And so, as we now ram Obamacare, as we rack up these massive trillion-dollar deficits, what has the government been doing? It has been borrowing and printing money, borrowing and spending. You borrow money, you spend money, you print money. What happens? You have massive inflation. The dollar and currency is destroyed. What is Soros? He is an international currency speculator. He has said for 20 years now, his goal is to destroy the American dollar. Because if he destroys the American dollar, he will enrich himself on the back of the United States. And the question that I have for him is a simple one. George, Georgie boy, when your parents were on the verge of being sent off to a death camp during World War II because they were Jewish, when they were facing the possibility of the knock on the door at night from the Gestapo to send them to Buchenwald or Auschwitz, and you changed your name and you barely escaped the Holocaust, and after World War II, where did you go? Tell me, where did you go? Did you go to Soviet Russia? Did you go behind the Iron Curtain to the fellow socialists and communists that you love so much? No, you came to America. And you got rich in America. And you got fat in America. And this is how you pay America back? By seeking to destroy our borders? Bankrupt our country? Kill our babies through abortion? Destroy the family? And now pushing for Pelosi, Reid, and Obama to literally drive this country off a financial cliff so you can make out like a shyster? You can make out like a bandit? Are you that amoral? Are you that unprincipled? Are you that unscrupulous? This man is an international socialist banker. That's what he is. And he believes he is playing God. But I have news for him. He is not the dictator of the world. And money doesn't buy everything. And you can't buy the American people. And that's why when this shutdown happens, they are going to be stunned. The Republicans are not going to be blamed. the Tea Party are not going to be tarred. It is Obama that is going to look like the weakling, chameleon, and con man that he is. And so the question that I have for you is this. Do you believe that Soros is ultimately going to benefit from this government shutdown? Who do you think will benefit? Him, the Democrats, the Republicans, Obama? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The so-called path to progress looks more like a road to ruin for Medicare and a road to riches for big oil. Put simply, it is unfair, it does not create jobs, it does not grow the economy, and it does not strengthen the middle class.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, there was the piranha Pelosi. I can see all the progress under the Pelosi Congress and under Obama. Oh, boy. The jobs. The economy. It's raining money in America. It's raining money. Oh, the middle class has never been more secure. I don't know about you. I'm so excited about this economy over the last couple of years. I'm telling you, I love high unemployment. I love record deficits. I love it. I love it. Can't get enough of it. I can't. I love it when inflation starts to go up. I love gas at $4 a gallon. It's probably going to hit up to $7 or $8 a gallon. I love paying that much at the pump. This woman doesn't know what she's talking about. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Jim in Michigan. Jim, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. I couldn't agree with you more. By the way, you do a great job for Mike sitting in for him.
Oh, thanks, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you. When it comes to George Soros, I've seen so much on that communist news network, PBS. And you know what? He has done so much to destroy this country. And it doesn't surprise me that he's supporting Pelosi, because how much money was she spending when she was flying back and forth from California to D.C.? And just the amount of waste that happens. And Soros is getting his way. And it's sad to see people allowing it to happen.
Jim, you hit the nail on the head, and I want to thank you for that call. That's the thing. It's Soros that's making out like a bandit. He is the one that is determined to break the back of America. Why? Because the only thing standing in the way of a one-world socialist order is the United States of America. He is the one that wants us to give amnesty to illegal immigrants. He is the one that is pushing for the legalization of drugs. He is the one that wants a nationalized healthcare system. In fact, he said that to Obama. If you are to be a successful president, you must nationalize healthcare. In other words, he says jump, and the Democrats and Obama say how high. So essentially, here you have a man who, by his own admission, is obsessed with death. He's obsessed with dying. That's why he's obsessed with euthanasia, doctor-assisted suicide, abortion. You name the issue. This man loves the whole idea of dying. He's obsessed with it. He believes in a godless world. And so you have a man who believes in the culture of death, who despises America, despises the West, and he doesn't care. He's an absolute whore. He'll go to any country and exploit it and take advantage of it. He has broken Eastern Europe. He has broken Central Asia. He makes money in every part of the world. And now he's looking to break the American dollar. If we go bankrupt and the American dollar collapses, there is one man that is going to make billions and billions and billions, and that is George Soros. My friends, if you can't see it, I can. Soros is the enemy, and we must call him out on it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down!
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. As we are now on the verge of a government shutdown, I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. Do you believe the government should be shut down? Do you think it's going to be a catastrophe? Do you think it's going to affect you, or do you not care? 1-800-449-8255. Before I get to the blazing phone lines, there is another story I want all of you to check out on michaelsavage.com. It's also a story that was in my paper, The Washington Times. A Democratic lawmaker, a Democratic congressman, California Democrat Brad Sherman, a certified public accountant, came out and said that the White House, now remember, this is a Democrat, that the White House is deliberately lowballing the cost of the Libya war. If you remember, when the air and missile strikes began several weeks ago, Obama came out along with Defense Secretary Robert Gates, vowing and promising the American people, saying, well, this is not going to cost us very much. Gates testified in front of, on Capitol Hill in front of a committee, saying, no, it's going to cost $550 million, easy less than $1 billion. Easy. No way it's going to come close to a billion. Now Brad Congressman Sherman comes out and says that is a lie, that the White House is deliberately underrepresenting the numbers and the figures and the dollars involved, that this is going to cost us a hell of a lot more than $550 million. This is going to cost us in the billions. In other words, Obama and his national security team lied again. They have been cooking the books. And so if they lie about something like how much it costs to, for us to go to war in Libya, you don't think they've been lying about the budget? You don't think they've been lying about all these entitlement programs? They're running around Capitol Hill. Chuck Schumer, another left winger, another socialist from New York. He's running around telling everybody there's no crisis in Medicare. There's no crisis in Medicaid. There's no crisis in Social Security. What's Paul Ryan talking about in his Path to Prosperity budget blueprint? What's he talking about? There's no danger here. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. No. Nothing. No, it's all fine. It's all dandy. Those three programs combined amount to over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. That means we're going to have to pay them out. We've made commitments, especially to the elderly, but there's no money. No money has been set aside. $100 trillion. They have been cooking the books here for decades. And now the chickens have come home to roost. Now the bill is due. We can't hold it off any longer. The interest on the debt is too high. It is crumbling all around us. And so as these guys are playing games here on the Potomac, as I call it, it's Disneyland on the Potomac here in Washington, D.C. They're all building castles in the sky. They're all in their fantasy worlds. We are going bankrupt. If they were practicing accounting in a private sector, in your company or your firm that you work in, the way they practice it here on Capitol Hill and in the White House, I swear to you, they would be dragged off as white-collar criminals. They'd be prosecuted. They're cooking the books. They're lying about everything. They remember about Iraq? Remember how they told us about Iraq? It's a cakewalk, Donald Rumsfeld told us. This wasn't going to cost us very much money. We've now plunked $1 trillion in the Middle East and climbing, $1 trillion. Afghanistan, remember that one? That was supposed to be easy. Libya now is supposed to be easy. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, everything is, hey, no problem. We can afford everything. No, we can't. And my friends, this is our problem as a country. We can no longer make choices. We can no longer make sacrifices. We have to have everything all the time. I walk around the shopping mall near my house. I swear to you, I don't know what people are thinking. Everything is on the credit card. I can even overhear them as I'm at a restaurant, and they're telling each other how they're maxed on their credit cards. What do they do to pay for the meal? Pull out the credit card. I see them running around with their kids. They never say no. Have you seen a kid disciplined? Kids don't get disciplined anymore. Whatever they want, they get. I know, I speak from experience. I see my nephews. I love them to death. Don't get me wrong. I love my boys. But it's unbelievable. Every video game, every truck, every toy, every ball, every, you name it, they have it. I said to my sister, her name is Jennifer, I call her Jen. I said, Jen, there's a whole room here just with toys for the boys. I said, Jen, I don't know how to break this news to you. You had a few Barbie dolls. I had a Batman and a Superman. We didn't die. It was okay. We didn't have every toy under the sky. But this is what's happening with us. Even what I can't believe is this. I see it with my own sister. I see it even with my own sister-in-laws, with her, with my niece. Same thing. The kids dictate the menu. Mommy, I want chicken fingers. Mommy, I want hot dogs. Mommy, I want pizza. No. You're not going to junk yourself. You're going to have vegetables. You don't like it? Too bad. Eat it. The basics, we can no longer say no. This is why this government shutdown is a massive collective no. No mas. No more. Let's go to Leon in Chicago. Leon, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, I find I'm making progress with people discussing the federal budget and the proposed cuts by dropping 9 zeros from the numbers. In other words, $33 billion in cuts becomes $33 against a $3,700 budget. And they're saying they're having a difficult time cutting it. In addition, the deficit of $1.6 trillion projected for 2011 becomes $1,600. When you mention billions and trillions, people's eyeballs start to roll around in the sockets. So I'm making a lot more progress dropping 9 zeros saying $3,700 budget, they can't cut $33.
No, Leon, you make a very good point, and I want to thank you for that call. Stalin once said, you kill one man, it's a tragedy. You kill a million, it's a statistic. This is what happens when you play with such big numbers. Now, Soros knows this. Saul Alinsky knows this. This is not Jeff Kuhner being conspiratorial. Read Rules for Radicals. That's Obama's playbook. There's only one book you should read to understand this con man in chief in the White House and his Marxist socialist agenda. Read for him The Grand Community Organizer, Rules for Radicals. By the way, I'm not making this up. You think, Jeff, come on, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. He dedicates the book. Saul Alinsky dedicates his book to Lucifer, to Satan. He says in the introduction, to the first original rebel, the first great community organizer, Lucifer, because he rebelled against God. That's the kind of man Saul Alinsky was. Saul Alinsky says, overwhelm the system. This is how you bring capitalism to its knees. You paralyze the system by overwhelming it. All of this gusher of spending, all of these deficits, all of this constant crisis, it's overwhelming us. That's the strategy. That's the Soros, Alinsky, Obama strategy. But if you break it down in simple numbers, it's really this. Imagine your home. You have your husband or your wife, and let's say your two children. Your MasterCard, Visa, Discovery, all your credit cards are maxed. Maxed. You're now on three mortgages. Your car payments are late. Your heating bills are late. Your electricity bills are late. Your wife has just been laid off and you're on the verge, or your husband has been laid off and you're on the verge of losing your own job. And now your credit card bills are coming in. And every month, you have $4,000 just in interest payments alone. Forget the principal, just the interest, $4,000. And your wife or your husband comes to you and says, honey, you know what? We got a problem. We got a problem. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut the subscription to Playboy. Yeah, I'm going to cut it. No, we can't afford Playboy anymore. We just can't, sweetie. Sorry, can't. Can't. I know you love the articles, but I can't. So we're going to cut $40. That's what, $40 out of the $4,000. Now, what would you say if somebody said that to you? You'd say, you're insane. Everything's got to go. Everything. We got to tighten our belt. We got to dismantle everything. This is what's happening in Capitol Hill. Literally, Boehner is saying $40 off the $4,000. And Obama is saying, no, no, $33. No, we got to keep the Playboy. No, if we don't have the Playboy, oh my God. What? Oh my God. We got to have Playboy. I can't live without the Playboy subscription. No, no, we can only do $33. We can only do $33. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Okay? We're not going to buy that Christmas cooking book for Grandma at Easter. Okay? That, we're going to shelve that. That's, My God, these are draconian cuts. This is the game they're playing on the Potomac. If you understand this, you understand everything that's going on. This is why I say, shut it down. Because when you shut it down, Americans are going to wake up and say, why is my government not operating? What's wrong? We live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world. This happens in Argentina and Bangladesh. This happens in Poland. This doesn't happen here. Our government just shuts down. Yes, because that's how irresponsible and incompetent and corrupt the politicians have been. And maybe America will finally look at that debt clock and say, my God, what are we doing to ourselves and our children? Let's go to Carl in New York. Carl, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Cooner, first the compliment. Thank you for a very clear and understandable explanation of things. Please don't stop.
You.
Don't think that people don't appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
The next thing, you had a question. It may be a little bit silly, but if we shut down the executive branch of our government, we'll solve two problems. We'll give our emperor a chance to vie for his next term uninhibited, and we'll save a ton of money on what he won't spend in the meantime.
Well, Carl, it's funny, but in a way you are making a very, very perceptive point. And I want to thank you for that call, buddy. No, really, look, seriously, if we shut the executive branch down, how much would it really impact our lives? The government would stop spending. They'd have to. There's no choice. They stop spending. So first, you know, as Socrates, the Hippocratic Oath, and Socrates also said it, but the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. That's what a doctor's mandate is. That's a doctor's moral obligation when he treats a patient. First, do no harm. Don't make the problem worse. You shut the government down, you're not doing any harm. You're stopping the bleeding. You're stopping the damage. Now, and Carl, this is a very key point. We have so strayed from the vision of our founding fathers. People don't realize this. Our founding fathers intended for the president to be almost irrelevant. That's George Washington was exceptional because he won us the Revolutionary War. So everybody revered him. And look how great he was. He could have been president for life. People were saying, George, General Washington, you must be president for life. And he said, no. Like the great Roman general Cincinnatus, who loved the Roman Republic, I fight for my country, I fight for my republic, and I will serve it, but then I will go home and tend to my garden. Two terms, and that's it. And after that, our founding fathers created a system in which literally the commander-in-chief really only has one power, and that is to oversee our military, to help keep us safe. And even to do that, because they were so afraid of dictatorial power, that's how wise they were, they said even then, if he goes to war, he must get the approval and authorization of Congress. The people's representatives. So, Obama ignores Congress in Libya. He doesn't give a damn about Congress when it came to Obamacare. He doesn't give a damn about Congress when it comes to all these policy czars. So, you don't give a damn about Congress anyway? I'll tell you what, we'll shut the government down. So, you can still pretend to be president. And you know what? In a way, We've restored the vision of our founding fathers. That's why I say, shut the government down. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I thought the meetings were frank, they were constructive, and what they did was narrow the issues and clarify the issues that are still outstanding. I remain confident that if we're serious about getting something done, we should be able to complete a deal and get it passed and avert a shutdown.
That was the Dear Leader last night. That was then. This is now. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Well, apparently now, Harry Reid has come out saying there's looks likely to be a government shutdown. Obama has now come out and threatened to veto a resolution extending funding for the government for another week. Republicans now passed a resolution. He says he will veto it, forcing a government shutdown. So obviously, Obama and the Democrats believe they can repeat what happened in 1995, break the Republicans, break Boehner, and set up Obama to be reelected in 2012, like Clinton was reelected in 1996. Do you think that will happen? I want to hear from you. Is this the winning strategy for Obama to propel himself back into reelection? 1-800-449-8255. Nancy in Austin, thanks for holding, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, I just had a question. I'd like to understand why people say that if the government shuts down, that we'll save money, because the government workers are still going to be paid, and when they come back in session or come back to the job, they're just going to make up the payments that were missed while they were closed.
No, you're right, in the sense that in the long term, we're not going to save anything because the workers are going to be paid retroactively. To me, the bigger point, though, is this. They can't pass anything new. See, Nancy, that's why it's going to save us money. In other words, it's for whatever those weeks that the government is shut down, there are no new initiatives, no new proposals. So they can't do anything. That's why the longer the shutdown happens, in fact, we probably will end up saving money because they're going to do less damage to America and to the economy. Does that make sense to you?
That's okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. No, my friends, look, I think it's very obvious. You are being hoodwinked. You are being snookered by the mainstream media into believing that this is some galactic, titanic struggle between Republicans and Democrats, when in fact they are simply arguing over drops in a bucket compared to the larger debt and deficit. Don't buy it. Also, nothing is going to happen to you. Trust me. Saturday morning, the sun will rise. The sky will still be blue. The planet Earth will be here. America will still be here. In fact, you're going to be amazed at how this country is able to continue to function without the government. And this is my point. They're a bunch of leeches and parasites and con men and shysters here in Washington. And that's why I say, throw the bums out. It's time to clean house. We want our country back. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. I am filling in for him. Michael, my buddy, if you are listening out there, I just want to thank you one last time for the wonderful, wonderful, generous opportunity, the offer from you to fill in for you again tonight. I can't tell you just how honored I am. What a pleasure it is, how wonderful it is to speak to your incredible audience. Michael, you truly do speak to on a nightly basis and have the ear of the great American heartland. You truly are an American hero and a living legend, and I just can't thank you enough, my friend. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest stories. My friends, I have a blockbuster for you. Just trust me on this. It's coming. It's just breaking now. Go to michaelsavage.com. It's going to be up very, very shortly, I'm positive. We'll get to it in just a couple of minutes. But trust me, you are not going to believe this. But first, let me just quickly look at some of these incredible stories on michaelsavage.com. You know, have you noticed the more we learn about Obama, the less we like? Literally, it's like a bad movie. This thing just won't end. It's like skeleton after skeleton after skeleton in this man's closet. You go to michaelsavage.com. Friend of Obama arrested during prostitution sting in Hawaii. That's nice. Apparently, this is a story in the New York Post, up on michaelsavage.com. An individual by the name of Robert Richard Titcomb, is apparently a buddy of Obama's. Whenever the president is vacationing in Hawaii, and we know he loves to vacation, when he's off in Hawaii, he meets up with Titcomb, and they go out and they play golf. They're golfing buddies. They're dining buddies. Apparently, the president just recently, a couple months ago, was at Titcomb's place for a nice barbecue with his family. Well, what was Titcomb up to? Apparently, he likes to solicit prostitutes. He went downtown Honolulu. In an undercover police operation sting, there was Titcomb soliciting a prostitute. This is the kind of man that Obama surrounds himself with. He's got thugs from Chicago. He's got terrorists like William Ayers. He's got the white-hating, anti-Semitic pastor of 20 years, Jeremiah Wright. And now we find out it's Rahm Emanuel, Dead Fish Emanuel. It's all of these Chicago cronies and thugs. And now, of course, it's a guy that he loves to solicit prostitutes. Robert Titcomb. Another story on michaelsavage.com. Did Obama miss 1 year of Columbia classes? Now, apparently, there is some documentation. Some documents are coming out that apparently, as Obama falsely claimed, he was at Columbia University from September 1981 to May of 1983. He claimed that's where he finished his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science. If you know the biography of Obama, as I have read his autobiographies and looked into his past, he has also claimed that in the summer of 1981, he was off to Pakistan to apparently meet some of his friends. Now, what he refuses to tell the American public is, what passport did he go on? What passport did he use when he went to Pakistan? Was it an Indonesian passport? Because we knew he grew up in Indonesia. Or was it an American passport? But now, it looks like some documents are coming out saying, apparently he only spent 9 months at Columbia, not 2 years. So what did he do between 1981 and 1982? You see, nothing about this man that we were told by the mainstream media is turning out to be true. He's a Manchurian president. He's a chameleon president. We don't know who or what he is. This man has not shown us his health records. He has not shown us his student records. He has not shown us what his thesis was he was in university. We know nothing about him except what he has been telling the mainstream press. So the more we find out, the less we like. But what we are now beginning to find out is that he loves to play president. He loves to travel. He loves to stuff his face with Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and he loves to trot around the globe. Well, you want to see what it's like to have a community organizer as president? In other words, somebody who's never held a real job in his life, doesn't know what it is to put in 40 hours a week? He just came back from a huge night gala dinner with Reverend Al, partying it up with Al and with Magic Johnson and some of the Bill Cosby and some of the leading lights in the African-American community. For me, that to me considered is a nice night out. Frankly, my batteries are recharged. I'm ready now. After partying it up with these people, I am now ready to come in and lead the fight on the budget battle. Here is the blockbuster. What do you think the dear leader is doing? Do you think he's up at night? Do you think he's now going to stay here on the weekend and fight it out? Do you think he's going to stand here and rake Boehner over the coals and fight for the American people? Nope. Here is this story that is now breaking all over the internet and the wires, and it will soon be on michaelsavage.com. President Obama, first family plan to vacation in Williamsburg this weekend. He's vacationing. As the government is shutting down, he's vacationing. Let me read to you a couple graphs from this story. Dateline Williamsburg, Virginia. The leader of the free world may be coming to Williamsburg for some rest and relaxation if Congress is able to come to agreement on the budget. Apparently, even if there is no agreement on the budget, President Obama and the first family are planning to visit the area this weekend in what the White House described as a long-planned family trip to Colonial Williamsburg. Can you imagine this? It goes on to say that Obama is very excited to go visit Colonial Williamsburg. So think about this. This is the president in which he has now ordered American troops in an illegal, unconstitutional war in Libya. This is a president who just came back from a big fundraising event in New York City, partying it up at the Sheraton Hotel and Towers. He just was in Rio a couple of weeks ago, partying it up on the beach in Rio. This is a man who vacations once a month, if even less than that, once every 3 weeks. And now, in the middle of this big budget crisis, in the middle of this big emerging looming government shutdown, he goes on vacation? What are you vacationing from? You haven't done anything. I guess destroying a country is hard work. I guess it's tough to destroy one segment of American society after another. Hey, I don't know. And this is the point, my friends. He himself is now shutting down. This is the sense that I get. He now is throwing in the towel. This job is too big for him. He's out of his depth. The community organizer from the south side of Chicago, he doesn't know what to do. He can't fix Iraq. He can't fix Afghanistan. He can't fix Libya. He can't fix the debt. He can't fix the deficit. He can't fix the economy. He can't fix our border. Remember the BP oil spill? He couldn't fix a lousy spill in the Gulf Coast. So now there's a budget fight. He can't lead in a room with Dirty Harry Reid and John Boehner Bonehead. He can't put Boehner and Harry Reid together in a room and craft a deal. He's out of his depth. He's out of his league. He is starting now, I believe, to emotionally shut down. This is why when we talked about this earlier, people said, well, Jeff, what if the executive branch just literally stopped functioning? What would happen? We're already seeing it happening. The presidency is on automatic pilot. this guy is now going to go to Colonial Williamsburg and stuff his face once again. I bet he's going to, what do you want? Some of the local seafood? Is that what you're going to try out there? What are you going to go to the local Ben and Jerry's and have some more Cherry Garcia ice cream? I mean, the restaurants, if I was a restaurant owner in Colonial Williamsburg, I mean, I'd be licking my chops. I'd be rubbing my hands. This guy's going to come in here. He's going to take care of us. We're going to have, literally, we're going to go from the red to the black overnight with this guy and his entourage. You want to see an abdication of leadership. We are not leading in Libya. We are not leading in Iraq. We are not leading all these Arab revolutions in the Middle East. We are not leading. We are leading nowhere. Even at home, as the government is about to be shut down, this man is so pathetic, so self-absorbed, so narcissistic, so lazy, so incompetent, so inept. He schedules a vacation to Colonial Williamsburg? Mr. President, you are the bankrupt president of a bankrupt regime leading a bankrupt party. And if you had any honor or dignity, sir, you would admit to the American people that you perpetrated one of the greatest cons and frauds in history. You, sir, have no business being anywhere near the White House. Frankly, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't hire you to clean my house. That's how incompetent you are. You're so lazy, I kid you not, you'd probably stop after 37 minutes. Probably claim your back is hurting and walk out. This man is becoming an international and national joke. And so my question to you is a simple one. What do you make of the fact that the President of the United States, now apparently with a government shutdown looming, after he claimed he was going to work at this day after day after day, night after night, is now heading off to a vacation with his family in Williamsburg? Is he asleep at the wheel? Is he derelict in his duty? Is he shutting down? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Some of you saw I went down to Brazil a couple of weeks back. And I know people think I was going there to see samba dancers or something. Or they play soccer. Let me begin by acknowledging some very, very special guests. State Comptroller Tom Dinopoli, excuse me. This is another one that's hard to pronounce. Stevie Wonder.
Come along, be my heart and come along and be my.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, my friends, the government is about to shut down and our partier in chief is off to Colonial Williamsburg for a family vacation this weekend. Is he the absent president? Are you offended that here he is once again? How many vacations is this man going to take? To me, partying it up with Stevie Wonder, that would do it. I don't get to party that much to begin with. Brazil seems very nice to me. How many times do you want to go to the beach? I don't understand this guy. I don't know if he's so arrogant that he thinks he can do anything. I don't know if he's so immature that he just doesn't get it. Or is he so incompetent and so inept that he doesn't see the PR damage that's being done? I don't know. Why do you think Obama is heading off for another vacation in the midst of a government shutdown? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Sandy in Virginia. Sandy, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just want to kind of comment. I have plans to take my grandson to Busch Gardens up in Williamsburg this weekend. And I just feel so privileged that my tax dollars are going to pay for Mr. Obama and his family's vacation. I was just wondering if there's anybody out there wants to buy my Busch Garden tickets for me.
Sandy, I got to tell you, I hate to break this to you, but it's not just him and Michelle and the two kids. There is an army of Secret Service agents. There's a whole entourage. He has to bring much of his staff with him. People have no idea the kind of effort, organization, and money, resources that are needed to move the president around the country, especially for a vacation. He is literally squandering our dollars. He is burning them up. He is taking $100 bills and just burning them up right in front of our eyes. And that's what I just, to me, this is what I find mind-boggling. This man has no sense of decency, of shame, of patriotism. We are going broke. The country is on the verge of a government shutdown. We are starting to look to the world like the United States of Argentina. We look to the world like a banana republic. And what is this guy doing? He's going to go to Colonial Williamsburg to stuff his face for the weekend. Take in some more sun. How much sun do you need? How many more parties do you need to have? It's like for him, becoming president was a license to frolic and party for 4 years. This guy's the partier in chief. This is what I think people don't realize. What he is, at his core, I truly believe this. He is nothing more than another con artist from the south side of Chicago who said, hey, you know what's a great gig? Let me con my way right into the mother of all positions, the White House. And Mr. and Mrs. America, you're paying for it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Before we go to our busy phone lines, a lot of callers have been emailing me throughout the show. They want to know where they can read my column. Just go to WashingtonTimes.com. My column appears every Friday in the Washington Times. In fact, it's up right now. Just punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R, and you can just read my column. It appears every Wednesday and every Friday. That's right, every Wednesday and every Friday in the Washington Times. Before I go to our phone lines, you know, Obama is not the first radical leftist president that we've had in America. Another one was Jimmy Carter. And if you go to michaelsavage.com, you will read another unbelievable story about Carter, who continues to disgrace this country, the American people, and the office that he once held. At the Carter Center in Atlanta, there were religious leaders and human rights activists from 20 countries that descended for apparently some sort of a gab fest. And there was the peanut farmer being the peanut farmer. And so there's the peanut farmer coming out. And what does he say? That the greatest source of oppression of women around the world has been the Christian Bible. Now, he claims to be a religious believer. He claims to be some sort of a Christian, a devout Christian. When he was president, he was asked, did you ever commit adultery? And he said he committed adultery of the heart. Not in real life, but of the heart. He actually lusted over other women, and the peanut farmer didn't like that. So this was Jimmy then being Jimmy. But now he claims, remember, it's not the Quran. No, it's not Islam that's the problem. It's Christianity and scriptures and the Bible. Now, the question I have for the peanut farmer is this. Is he either completely ignorant of history and the world, or is he just pandering to the PC crowd? Because if you look at societies around the world, there is no comparison in the treatment of women between those in the Christian West and those in the Islamic East. Women in Muslim societies are treated like dogs. They are regularly beaten. In fact, the Quran, there are certain places in the Quran, and I know clerics in particular have interpreted the Quran to say that a man has a right to beat his wife. Adulterers, female adulterers, are regularly stoned in Saudi Arabia and Iran. So this man is now going to tell us that it's the Christian Bible that's been the root of oppression for women? In fact, it's the opposite. What he and the secular progressive leftists will not admit is that all of our rights, all of our liberties, including greater and greater rights for women throughout history, have come because of our Judeo-Christian heritage. It is because of the Bible. It is because of Christianity. Why do I say this? Because Christianity is the only religion, along with Judaism, that defends and sanctions the inherent dignity of the individual, the inherent dignity of men and women, that we are all equal in the eyes of God, that we are all children of God. And it is that belief in God, in the Bible, and in Christian faith that was the basis for all of our rights in the Constitution. This is why the greatest source of liberation for all human beings has been Christianity and Judaism, our Judeo-Christian heritage, because of the Bible. This is what the peanut farmer cannot get through his head. Islam is the exact opposite. It deliberately subordinates and subjugates women. Just take the common practice of polygamy, which is prevalent throughout the Islamic world, throughout the Arab world, and is deliberately sanctioned by the Quran. Okay, it's part of Sharia law. If you're a Muslim, you can have 2, 3, 4, 5. You can have as many wives as you want, as long as you can afford them. You tell me, is that not one of the most degrading, demeaning things to a woman? That she is nothing more than a sexual reproductive object for her man? That she must submit to one man, but he can have his own personal harem? That, in other words, he can have sexual relations with multiple partners, but she can only have sexual relations with him? It is a form of enslavement. This is why, if you want, this is not even me saying this, this is Bernard Lewis, the world's foremost scholar on the Arab world. Recently, he was asked, what is the greatest weakness in the Muslim world? Why are they so economically and politically and technologically behind? He said one reason, just one, it's treatment of women. It so mistreats and oppresses the women in their societies that literally 50% of its society, of its civilization, is not being used. They are literally being held back. How can you compete? How can you grow? How can you develop? How can you flourish when you're decimating half of your human capital? This is why Islam continues to fall behind more and more and more behind. And rather than admitting that the problem is with them, they lash out at America. They lash out at the West. They lash out at Christians and Jews. They lash out at Israel instead of looking at themselves. So if the peanut farmer would just for literally maybe read a book or open his eyes and actually go to the Middle East, and instead of meeting with Hamas, and instead of meeting with all these jihadists that want to cut our throats, actually walk around and talk to women in the Middle East and say, tell me, when they force you to wear that burqa, when they want to stone you because you've committed adultery, when they won't allow girls to go to school, or where in some practices, in some societies, they practice genital mutilation on women so they can't enjoy sex. Do you like that? Do you find that liberating? Or is it the Christian Bible that's your problem? This, my friends, is the lunacy of liberalism. So we had the peanut farmer in the Oval Office, and now we have the partier in chief. Now we have the dear leader who's now partying it up. So we had one loser, one leftist loser, and now we have another leftist loser. One was the peanut farmer. The other one is the partier. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-449-8255. Mary in Albany, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Kuhner, thank you. I'll be 30.
Mary, you kind of broke up on us there. Sorry about that. Let's go to Ben in Sacramento. Ben, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Kuhner, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I was calling in regards to your comment earlier about Obama being the absent president, and I've kind of been using the term when talking about people that he's not so much an absent president as he views himself as an utter celebrity, it seems to me. And, you know, throughout his campaign, his throngs of supporters and everything, he took that to mean that he was famous, not running for office, it seems.
Ben, I think, you know what, I think really you have hit this one out of the park. He is the celebrity in chief, and I think you've nailed him. I think you've gotten his psyche, his personality, his disposition, his temperament, his arrogance. You have nailed him to a T, and I want to thank you for that, Ben. No, look, it all makes sense. He, to me, I've said this yesterday, I don't want to be a broken record, I don't want to sound like a tape, but he, to me, clearly suffers from narcissistic personality disorder. He is a clinical narcissist. Many in Hollywood or in show business are clinical narcissists. Why do I say this? He is somebody who is utterly infatuated with himself. It's hard to explain this on the radio. Having seen him in D.C., because I do a lot of reporting on Capitol Hill and the White House, so I've physically seen him quite often. He is a man who is chillingly cold, chillingly vain, chillingly self-absorbed, chillingly utterly full of himself. He is a megalomaniac. As he told Dirty Harry Reid when they were about to ram Obamacare down our throats, quote, "I have a special power, Harry." He believes he has godlike powers. And so this is why he behaves like a Roman emperor. He believes that he is fully robed, he is fully clothed, and that he is not naked, that in fact he is in splendor, that his glory only grows, that his fame and greatness only grows, and that the laws of the Republic do not apply to him, that he can do whatever he wants. And like many narcissists, this is a clinical definition of narcissism, people who suffer from this personality disorder, they have no connection with people around them. They usually tend to be people who are abandoned by their parents when they're young. They have a deep, profound insecurity that can never be filled. And so they need constant attention, constant acclaim, constant gratification, constant love and adoration. This is Obama. This is why the Hollywood left loves him. They love him. They're fanatical for him. They're gaga for him. They believe and they know he's one of us. That's why Steven Spielberg loves him. That's why Alec Baldwin will run here in Washington and hold a press conference to defend him. It's why at that gala last night with Al Sharpton, it was full of black celebrities. Stevie Wonder had to show up. Bill Cosby had to show up. Jamie Foxx had to show up. Everybody had to show up. Magic Johnson had to show up. Everybody has to rub shoulders with him because he's like them. He's a celebrity. And what he has done, and this is to me his greatest crime upon the American presidency and upon the American Republic, he has turned the White House into a reality TV show. Barack does the White House. That's literally what he's doing. He pretends to be a commander in chief. He says we're going to close Gitmo, but we don't close Gitmo. He says we're going to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York City, but we're not going to try him in New York City. He says we're going to pull out of Iraq, but maybe we're not. Somehow, maybe. We're going to win in Afghanistan, send in 30,000 troops, but we're not going to win in Afghanistan. Maybe we'll topple Gaddafi, maybe we won't topple Gaddafi. But when the going gets tough, he's got to run off and go on vacation. He has been to Hawaii at least a dozen times in 2 years, vacationing. His wife and children have to go to Spain and France and party it up on the Riviera. This guy will travel anywhere for a good time and a party. Apparently now he's heading off to Ireland after this vacation. He's going to belt back a couple of Guinnesses and hit the pubs in Dublin. He's got to try that. He's got to do everything before the 4 years are over. He is a perpetual adolescent. And this is what a celebrity culture breeds. Celebrity leaders. You got to have a TV show now to become president of the United States. I can't believe this. Everybody now has to have a TV show. I, in fact, know. I swear to you, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. You know how immoral and unethical this is? What I'm about to tell you, it's, it literally turns my stomach. I know for a fact that there is a Republican presidential candidate who is about to throw his hat in the ring who knows he cannot and will not win. He knows it. And my friend told me, because he's a very close friend of his, that's why I can't mention his name, the reason why he's running is to get a show on Fox. So he's telling his supporters, I'm in it to win it. Give me your money. Go out and campaign for me. Go out door to door. Man the phone banks. He wants these people to sacrifice their money and their time, not to win the White House, not to win the Republican primary. No. Not to win the nomination, so that he can do well enough, like Mike Huckabee, to get his own TV show. This is how cynical and how selfish many have become. This is what a celebrity culture leads to. And this is what liberalism has given us. Because in the end, what does liberalism truly say? That man is God. He respects and thinks of nothing higher than himself or herself. That you can do whatever you want and there are no moral limits. If you think like that, you think like a celebrity. Because then you think the laws of the moral universe don't apply to you. That's Alec Baldwin. That's Charlie Sheen. And my friends, I hate to say this, but that's Barack Hussein Obama. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage.
Quickly ask you if, up to this point, if President Obama has lived up to your expectations as a strong supporter of him from the beginning.
Well, I think so, because I think that when you come into office and you want to put your mark on things, you want to be able to spend.
That was the world-renowned political expert Alec Baldwin praising the dear leader for for his remarkable presidency, but not being able to spend enough money. No, didn't spend enough. Well, he's going to be spending a lot this weekend, heading off on vacation. Let's go to Cindy in Alabama. Cindy, thank you for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know, my son-in-law and my husband are both in the National Guard, and my son-in-law works for the National Guard full-time, and it's a shame that the president's going on vacation. Whenever there's something going on, the National Guard are the first guys they call. My son-in-law may lose his job on Friday, because he works for the government, and the president's going on vacation. I mean, where does he get off with that?
Cindy, let me ask you this. How often do you and your husband go on vacation? I mean, do you go to Rio?
Once a year. When we're lucky, we get to go once a year. And no, we
really
get to go to Rio.
Rio. See, that's me. I only go on vacation once a year, too, and I don't happen to go to Rio as well. You see, so we have that much in common, Cindy.
Right. Another thing is his birth certificate. And the whole thing you were talking about earlier with that is college diploma. For you to get a job for the government here working at an Army installation, they do a background check on you. I can't even get driver's license without showing that stuff.
There you go. You see, the same thing when I got my job at the Washington Times. They wanted a thorough background check. They wanted my diplomas. They wanted my health records. They wanted everything. But when it comes to the dear leader, he's untouchable. He's Emperor Obama. How can we dare ask him to show us his medical records or his student records or anything regarding his background? The utter arrogance and hubris of this man to me is stunning. But I think, my friends, he forgets one important lesson that comes from the Bible. And that is, pride cometh before the fall. He is now so full of pride. He is now so full of megalomania. He is now so full of arrogance. He thinks he can do anything. Let him go on his vacation. This will just throw more salt into the wound. It will rub salt into the wound. And the American people will see again just what a narcissistic, anti-American, corrupt man we have in the White House. And that's why I'm telling you, members of the Savage Nation, mark my words, go to sleep on it. This man is going down in 2012. Not only is he going down in 2012, I believe that if a serious Democratic challenger emerged, if a Hillary Clinton or a Russ Feingold or whoever had the guts and the courage to challenge him, he would even lose the Democratic primary. That's how incompetent, that's how ineffective, that's how inept he is. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. May God bless you, and may God bless the greatest country on earth, the United States of America.
Savage.